Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Welcome to Tales to Terrify.
Good evening, children of the night. Must be coming to you as a bit of a surprise that you're hearing from Tales to Terrify on a day other than Friday. This isn't going to be one of the normal episodes. This is just the announcement that we made our funding goals. So for the immediate future, we're good. We probably will need to be looking for money again in the future, but we're out of those dire straits. Now, you're going to be hearing from Tony today as well. However, there'll be an interview with a very special guest, Cecilia, Larry Santaro's wife. In it, they discuss quite a bit of things that are sort of history of the podcast, and I'd kind of like to kind of comment on a few of those things as well. Now, for the folks who have joined the podcast in more recent months, Larry is our founding host. If you haven't gone back and listened to the archives, which I recommend that you should, he's our founding host, and we unfortunately lost him to cancer. So it was quite nice to hear from Ticelia, and I think that you'll enjoy the conversation that Tony and she have, because there's a bit of history that goes into it, which actually I, despite being involved with the podcast for quite some time, was unaware of. Now, this is a little bit more of an informal recording, and for the folks who are maybe a little less interested in these sort of things, this isn't going to contain any sort of story or fiction, since it's sort of a in-between episode, a status update. And because of that, typically I have a sort of a script that I work from when I'm recording, so that I minimize the amount of author names or narrator names or story names that I get incorrectly. And also because that we're trying to get this in into the recording and out to you as quickly as possible, if you hear any unusual noises, the only time I was able to hit the record button is when some roofers are working right across from where I live. So you may hear a few bangs in the recording. Now, in the interview with Ticelia, there's a few things that I did not realize. For example, Tales to Terrify's original home was the Nook. The Nook is a real place. Didn't know that. It's a specific room in Larry's home. I imagine that I couldn't really name our recording place from where it's at, because it's my wife's walk-in closet. It's where I do most of the recording for narrations and the episodes themselves. But I had a lot of good memories listening to the shows at that time, including Mahler, the ink black cat of the Nook. I did marry into a cat myself, and decided not to feature her on the podcast because she's kind of irritating to me. In fact, most of my edits that I have to do when I'm recording is to take out me swearing at the cat for making noise. I suppose that we could have named the show Annals of Annoying Animals. she were to be featured on the podcast. Now, one of the things during our fundraising that I really wanted to make sure that did not really happen is lean on you, the children of the night, the listeners of this podcast, for money while using Larry for that. Or Larry's passing, I felt that that would be in poor taste. Now that that time has passed and we're back into an area where things are looking much better for us financially, I'm quite happy that we can take a look back at where things began, where they're going, and everything in between. When I had initially taken over the podcast after Larry's passing, for quite some time, and even perhaps a bit to this day, I feel that I'm just a boy who's wearing daddy's shoes, if you kind of get my drift. For those of you who have joined us recently, I would encourage you to go back and at least listen to a couple of the older episodes that Larry was hosting. The man had so much experience with the entertainment business, with producing creative content, and he had a voice for it. I think that I have a pretty good voice for podcasting, and some might say a good face for podcasting as well, but he had a much better one, specifically for the genre of horror. Wonderful voice for it. So I really appreciated listening to any of his work and getting to know him. In the interview with Tony and Ticelia, you'll also hear as well about Larry's collection of DVDs and books. I never had the honor of meeting Larry in person as we worked on the show together, but whenever I would have a meeting with him on Skype, I remember the very first time that we fired up that video connection, I had to comment on the DVDs and the even VHS and books that were behind him. I mean, it looked like he lived in like a storage shed after Blockbuster shut down or something. It was, it was that many titles. I actually also haven't really gone back to reminisce, to listen to any of the old recordings. As I said before, I didn't really meet Larry in person, didn't have the opportunity to do that. But despite that, with his passing, going back and hearing his voice is still a bit emotional for me. So it's been uncommon that I've gone back to listen to them. So I think that I can say on behalf of myself, the staff that we have currently, Tony, Ticelia, and if I can, Larry as well, thank you for helping us keeping this show on the road. So now I'm going to step aside and you'll hear a little bit from Tony, and stay tuned. We'll see you on Friday for a regular episode of Tales to Terrify.
Hello, everyone. Yes, this is Tony C. Smith again. Yes, the boss, you know, who deals with the finance and everything like that. As you know, we had kind of hit the wall with Tales of Terrify. We've been doing, and we're kind of still, you know, in the process, I guess, for always, trying to raise funds for Tales to Terrify. We had, you know, it was pretty desperate, to be quite honest. We had about 10 weeks worth of shows. And I wasn't, you know, going to let Stephen you know, work up and get all sorted out for more shows. We kind of needed funding. And like I say, we were going to switch the lights off. It was as simple as that. And that's the, you know what I mean? It was the kind of last thing ever I wanted to do on Tales to Terrify. But it's just, it wasn't kind of happening. You know, it wasn't, you know, people weren't kind of donating. And it wasn't, you know, listeners' fault. It was just, you know, no one's mentioned it and things had just kind of, you know, moved on and just carried on as normal. You know, but kind of when I realised how much we weren't getting support by Tales of Terrify, we kind of had to kind of make some sort of kind of deadline decision. Well, the good news is Tales of Terrify is going to go on into the future. It's, you know, people, you know, and I cannot honestly, it's hard to like put over in kind of audio words just what it means to me, you know, what it means to everybody to kind of just to keep it going. Do you know what I mean? Stephen now taking a show with everyone behind the scenes and just taking it up to a, like a plateau in greatness that's, you know, beyond what I could have imagined. And like I say, we've got funded now, monthly donations are coming in, which is going to keep this going. And that's all that I wanted, you know what I mean? Just to kind of make sure it was kind of going and make sure it would just survive, you know, just kind of, that's the key with it, just the kind of the longevity. You know, we want this show, everyone wants, you know, the amount of emails, do you know what I mean? Coming in just like, I never realised, do you know what I mean? God, why didn't you say it before, you know what I mean? And it's quite humbling to kind of realise how many people, you know, rely on Tales of Terrify, the kind of the daily, not the daily fix of kind of horror, blood and guts and gore, but just that kind of community. Just, you know, it's a lovely place to be. You know what I mean? Yes, there's some strange tales in there. You know what I mean? But that's the kind of the beauty of it. And like I say, we did this kind of monthly fun drive, and it's been lovely. Do you know what I mean? People's kind of stepped up to the mark and, you know, showed the true colours, and it's been, you know, wonderful, you know. So, yes, Tales to Terrify is going, you know, it's going ahead. We're carrying on there now. We haven't got that switch, you know, 10 shows ahead of us, 20 shows ahead of us where it's going to get flicked off. Yes, we need donations. Hey, don't get us wrong. Do you know what I mean? I'll keep coming on every now and again and kind of, you know, asking for them. I don't mind asking you, you know what I mean? Kind of shaking your pockets and that. Honestly, that's how it kind of works. A little monthly donation just means that we're kind of, you know, 3 months down the line, it's still easy to kind of just keep the show going and not worry about the finances, you know? So it means so much to everybody that, you know, Tales of Terrifies is kind of terrifies. Where's that come from? Tales of Terrify is, you know, moving forward, you know, for bigger and greater things. And there's a little kind of, you know, a little a thank you and just a little, just to kind of, you know, have a little listen to who I probably call the mother of Tales to Terrify. You know, Larry kind of started this show, but behind Larry, there was his good wife, Decelia. And, you know, it was Decelia just as much as Larry's the kind of driving force behind the kind of the shaping and the kind of the way, you know, it wanted to go, Tales of Terrify. You know, it was just lovely to have them two there on the other side of the pond knowing how, you know, this show was getting created. And I've got a little chat with Decelia. You know, it's tough for her. There's no getting away from it. You know what I mean? She's lost that kind of soulmate and some, you know, deep, dark times in Decelia's life. But I was lucky enough just to, you know, just ask Decelia to come on, just to have a little chat, just to tell her about herself, you know, and just what Tales to Terrify meant to Larry. And I'll put it on there now. Decelia?
Yes. Hi, Tony. You will be surprised, but I have the current Tales to Terrify. I wanted to check it out before I talk to you.
All right. Oh. Hey, that's fab. Hey, honestly, Decelia, it's lovely just to hear your voice again. Do you know what I mean? It's just kind of so sweet.
I miss rec- Cordy. That was always so much fun.
Listen, you know as well, I wish you, I'm sure I nearly got you to do your own show as well. Just, you slipped out of my grasp there when I was asking for you for.
Well, I saw how much devotion, time and energy it took Larry to do the show the way he wanted to do it.
Okay,
but listen,
it.
Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, Cecilia, I so appreciate, you know, you coming on and even just having a chat with us. Do you know what I mean? It's just lovely to kind of know you're still kind of there and, you know, and from the Facebook pictures as well, you know what I mean? It seems, it seems a lovely place where you're at.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful part of the country. And, of course, you know, Larry and I had been spending all last spring trying to decide where to move to when he retired, and we never did really come to a decision. And then after he passed, my landlord wanted to rehab, so I had to dismantle the Nook, and then the Lakeview area became so expensive, and you know, I'm going to be 72. I didn't want to buy a house. I didn't like the idea of a condo. And I still had friends back in Maine, although it had been 12 years in Chicago. So I had a friend that I taught school with, and we decided that we would try sharing a house. So that's the process that we're going through right now. But it is really beautiful here, and I've managed to reconnect with a few people. So that's nice, and there's a lot of art here and writing, and so I'm going to take advantage of that once the year opens in September. And then I've got a short trip to Florence planned with my cousin, so that'll be nice. Gives me something to look forward to.
You know, you were just mentioning that. Did you, because I never knew, I might have missed this completely. Did you actually, you know, in the real world, you know, when with Larry in Chicago, did you call your house the Nook? Is that, you know, did you kind of refer to it?
When you first came up we had a long flight of stairs and a little tiny landing, and when you opened the door, there was a section that had a bed, a lamp, a chair, and floor-to-ceiling books, because it was all an open space. So we had floor-to-ceiling bookcases as room dividers and along all the walls, and that area was called the Nook. And if you came to stay with us, that's where you slept. You slept in the Nook. So there was actually place called the Nook that wasn't just made up for Tales to Terrify.
Well, that's I got it somehow, but then when you just kind of reinforced it there, when you were just kind of saying it in kind of normal conversation, do you know what I mean? It's
uh-huh.
Obviously it's just quite remarkable.
Yes, the rest of the place, you know, was open. We had a, you know, he has that 55-inch home theater TV, which I have in the living room here, and I haven't been able to find anyone interested in it.
Now, listen, don't get rid of that size telly. That's the kind of telly you want to watch all.
Well, I love it, but there's no room for it in someone else's house. So I also had a smart TV that Larry gave me for being back in the part we called the nest, which was the warm part of the apartment in the winter. So we have that hooked up. But, you know, he collected, he had all so many movies and books and pictures. And
well, know, I can just remember he's like, even just his like DVD collection, you know, when you used to have like a little chat with you on Skype, and it was just like, it was just mind-blowing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, it was.
So, just out of curiosity, have you got all them shipped to Maine with you there now, have you?
I spent 9 months going through everything. I sold a lot, gave a lot, donated a lot, and moved a lot because they charge you by weight.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So I really thought I had done a pretty good job, but the estimate turned out to be twice. So I have a 10 by 30 foot storage unit that has stacks of books and DVDs that I really didn't want to get rid of at the time. So I don't know. I mean, I have two small rooms now, and we'll just have to see what this year brings.
So, when I was kind of talking to you and Larry, and actually, you know, it wasn't that long before we kind of realized Larry was ill, you were on about kind of, you know, wanting to kind of get out of Chicago. I think you might know. Were you talking about going to Nova Scotia, or were you just looking at anywhere?
No, it was actually a place in New Hampshire that he had kind of focused on because years and years ago he had done summer theater there, and there was still a theater there, a community theater. And there was a writer's group, and he knew people in Vermont as well as I knew people in Vermont and Maine. But, Tony, I really think he wanted to go back to directing once he retired. I mean, that was his true love, and that's why he loved doing Tales so much. It was like he was directing again, you know? I think he really wanted to do that. And, of course, he had so many stories that he wanted to write as well. So, you know, it was going to be, I think, somewhere that's the area that we were looking at, was there. Either there or stay in Chicago. And we never did find a place in Chicago to put the big home theater, the car, and the two cats. It was complicated.
Cecilia, what did Tales to Terrify mean to Larry then? You know, like, just because you're something, because I knew I was quite often putting on him to kind of, you know, because we just knew how good Larry was and how good Tales to Terrify was becoming. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could tell that from the kind of opening show. And like you say, with Larry's kind of keenness for kind of a directorial eye, do you know what I mean? But what did it mean to him?
He just loved the show and everyone he worked with. It was one of his great joys. I mean, he had that microphone. It had been given to him years before, and it was just waiting for a podcast to come along. All right. I mean, he had all of the equipment at hand. I mean, isn't that synchronicity? I mean, it was something he really wanted to do. And, I know that he's happy that children of the night are more plentiful and, you know, are keeping it going. I love the archive, and every once in a while I go back just for a little listen to his voice. And I wanted to tell you that at the end, you know, he lost his voice the last 2 months of his illness, and he would play something from Tales to Terrify to let people hear what his voice really was. So it was very touching. You know, he really loved the show, and And I'm sure that he knows that it's going on. And I hope that your friends keep it going with some donations to you now that it's moved in a cabin in the mountains of Virginia, which I quite like. I've lived in a cabin in the hills of Maine, so that's a pretty scary proposition as well.
Well, like you say, it was just the way, you know, it kind of, like you say, it took all by surprise with kind of Larry's passing. And then it was something that I just didn't want to, you know, it's something you kind of just can't give up, you know what I mean? Especially now, you know what I mean? And like you say, we had that little fun drive. And, you know, the people have been so kind to kind of just, and the emails to Celia that kind of come through, you know what I mean? Just saying how much, you know, and even kind of, you know, Stephen's, you know, having to kind of carry it there now and he's getting all, you know, that kind of burden that kind of comes with doing a weekly show. It's, you know, and everyone, because there's a couple now helping Stephen. But it's, you know, it's like you say, we've got to keep, for me personally, you know, it's got to be one of these things that's got to be kept going. Do you know what I mean? And especially, you know, even just, you know, like, you know, when you said there, you know, you listen to it. Because I was going to ask you that, you know, we mentioned when we kind of first hooked up, just having a bit of chat. And it must be, that must be just, well, I don't know how to describe it to Celia. What's it like to listen to Larry now?
I still can't do it for very long. I think I can, but it just makes it so real that he's gone. And that's the hard part. I know that in the future I'll probably be, because I have all kinds of recordings of him reading and CDs of him reading and cassettes of his voice and him reading. But it's still really hard to look at him and to listen to him, because it just makes it too real that he's gone, you know. But I'm glad they're there, and I'm glad it's in a way he's still alive in the electrons out there in the universe, and anyone can see him and hear him. I was so happy that I found that little blip of reading that I could put up on the anniversary of his passing. It just was nice to put that.
Well, it's funny, you know, you kind of, you wake up in the morning and you look around, and I kind of just checked my Facebook and I seen it straight away. And honestly, see, like, I just blew it up full screen, and it was just like, you know, it was just Larry there. And you know what I mean? And it's probably a million miles away from how you're, you know, how you feel, but it just,
it made me happy that day. That was a hard day for me, and that was like the best thing that could have happened. I guess he just directed me to it, because I didn't even remember that I had it. You know, I was always taking little clips of something here and there, and I just found it, and I thought, oh, this is what I want to put up, you know. And, yeah, it was nice to see him, and he looked good, and reading from Drink for the Thirst to Come was nice. And that beginning is so beautiful about how happy everyone is, you know.
Well, that's, you know what I mean? Everyone kind of knows Larry for the kind of, you know, we know he kind of writes in that. But when you kind of listen to him writing, you know, listen to the kind of stories, you realize just how bloody good he was at that, you know what I mean? Taking his time to do My Tales to Terrify there, it's kind of cutting into his writing time. Mind, it's fascinating that you see he was, you know, possibly going back into kind of, you know, doing directing the theatre. Would it be kind of just theatre work that Larry was into, was it, Cecilia?
He, you know, his original degree was in theatre. And one of his friends, who is an actor, a successful actor in Chicago, when we were talking about Larry, he said, you know, Larry could have had several different successful careers. He was a terrific actor, but he just didn't like to act. I said, I know. He always would say to me how he didn't want to do something over and over and over again. That's why directing appealed to him so much. He got to be everybody and oversee everything. It was much more exciting for him, you know. But he often would say, I mean, as I went through a lot of emails, because I was trying to archive our letters and things that he said, and he would once in a while admit that, you know, with something like, to tell you the truth, I really miss directing. You know, he would come right out and say it, sometimes in an email to a friend, you know. So it wasn't something he dwelled on with me, but I knew it. You know, that was his true love. So I think in retirement he wanted to direct, and he wanted to put his telescope up in the backyard and do the podcast and write his stories and just be happy, you know.
Well, I tell you what, you know what I mean? I know we're kind of, Larry, with the writing and, you know, the kind of show and that, but honestly, to see his voice, man, you know, when you kind of listen to him, it was so intimate and so personal, especially on, you know, doing the show.
Yeah.
But when he kind of just read a story, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? You were,
yes.
That's the kind of the beauty of you, were captivated. And I don't know if you can remember, yeah. the best ever for me was when I kind of started this other podcast about, I forget what it was. It was some Battlestar Galactica podcast. That's right, Blood on.
Yes.
And he did like little intros for it where he was like a kind of reporter, a little man, and he,
yes.
and he killed, you know, one of these Cylons.
Yes.
And
yes.
that quintessentially was Larry, you know what I mean? And he described how he did it, you know what I mean? Kind of in his office, and he was like under his desk to get
yes,
the atmosphere.
Yes, I remember that.
You know,
yes.
and even, you know, even little bits where, you know, he had like a little headphone on, he in yes. the acting, he threw it off to get this kind of atmosphere going.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know what I mean? Even now, I mean, it kind of cuts us up now, mind you, when I play that, you know what I mean? It's just so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because when we've got Diane's music on the end of it.
Yeah, I am so lucky because I knew Larry. We first met back in the 60s in college, and we read to each other then. And I can remember reading scary stories to each other by candlelight, and his mother coming on the back porch was like, "What are you two doing?" You know, reading scary science fiction, whatever. And then when we started to get back together again, you know, it was phone conversations, and we'd read to each other over the phone. And then when we got married, we still continued to read to each other. And I just consider myself the luckiest person in the world to have this wonderful voice in my ear reading to me. I mean, how lucky. I used to say if I weren't married to him, I'd be in love with the voice that was on the radio.
Well, Maya, don't knock yourself, Cecilia, because your voice, you know what I mean? It's just like you've done you've done some narrations, and it was just your voice as well. I just kind of thought, oh, but I never got you, you know what I mean? I wanted you for a show, and it was just, like you say, we were chatting before, how much work goes involved into kind of doing this here, but you know what I mean, your voice as well is just so captivating. Do you know what I mean? It was just lovely. One day in the future we'll hopefully get you, you know, get a narration. We'll let everybody else do the work and you just do the talking.
I would love to be able to do that. I don't, of course, right now I don't have any equipment, but I have always loved reading aloud, and that was, you know, something Larry and I shared and gave a lot of joy to each other, you know, that we could do that. And I did like it. I liked working with him, and he liked working with me because I didn't make a whole lot of goofs. So when it came time to edit, he didn't have to spend a whole lot of time on me.
Well, to see that, what's the future got for you then? Because, I mean, like I say, I've seen your Facebook pictures and they're mm-hmm. just lovely, and it looks, you know, the sweetest place, you know. I would pack up my bags tomorrow, you know what I mean, and kind of come over there. It's just a gorgeous looking place. So what are your plans for the future?
Well, it's really hard. One plan, I guess, is to try to find more peace, less sadness in the future. I do want to get back to doing my artwork, which I haven't been able to do in the last couple months. And I used to write poetry, and I started writing, for a memoir class. So I was getting back into writing, and they do offer classes here for, continuing education or seniors or whatever you want to call it. So it's kind of nice just to take a class like that because you're starting from scratch. You don't know anyone in the community. And So one thing I did was volunteer at the amphitheater at the that I had put some pictures up. It's this beautiful little amphitheater overlooking the harbor, and they're doing Midsummer Night's Dream, which is a play that Larry was both Oberon and Puck and directed and knew by heart. I mean, he would do this whole play under his breath, and I'd be going shh, shh, shh. So, you know, trying to fit into the community, and I'd like to get into something that's meaningful. I'm in a part of a bereavement group, and I've been drawn, this is the second person I've lost to cancer, and I've kind of been drawn and interested in hospice work. I don't know if I can do that, but it's something in the back of my mind that I might want to do something like that. I think probably a little bit more time has to go by, but so that's a possibility. And I want to travel. So that's it. It's all kind of nebulous and up in the air, and who knows how long I'll be around, but try to enjoy each day.
Well,
you know, I know Larry wants me to do that. He's come through to tell me that I need to enjoy the sweetness of life and not be stuck. I know that's from him.
Well, that's lovely, to be quite honest. That's really, really nice. You know what I mean? To see, like, honestly, I wish, like I say, I could just get on a plane there now and come and give you a hug and, you know, have a chat with you. And just, it would be lovely. Do you know what I mean? It's just kind of...
Yes, it would. And I'm gonna come see you sometime because I had it all. I had this trip all planned for Larry, and I couldn't get him to commit to it. I had, we were going to see you, and we were going to be where he was stationed, and and I could not get him to commit. And then he had a lot of deadlines for stories, so it just didn't happen, you know.
Well, listen, yeah. Cecilia, it's hard to express how much it means to us that you're coming on to the show and kind of just talking about Larry again. You know what I mean? It's the last thing I wanted was kind of for it just to kind of go under and, you know, fade away. But everyone's kind of stepped up to the mark, and just with the little monthly donations, it's, you know, Tales to Terrify will go on. Do you know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah,
how much I appreciate you doing, you know, coming on and just talking about Larry, just, you know, remembering, letting everyone know. And even people that probably have just started listening, you know, they'll be thinking, all right, well, I'll go back and, you know, check out the early ones.
Yes, check out the early ones. They're really fun. And the first show is wonderful. And I noticed someone had posted on Tales to Terrify Facebook on his anniversary that they went back and listened to that first show. So, yeah, I know he would be happy. And as I said before, I hope the children of the night keep it going with their little donations of a little bit of money, whether it's in pounds or U.S. dollars or anything else around the world.
I'll take anything, Cecilia. You know what I mean? I haven't got a preference. Anything, even food, will keep us going. You know what I mean? Well, listen, honestly, Cecilia, take good care of yourself. You know, please, keep
Tony.
In touch, and please keep, you know, dipping back into the archives and listening to your man. Do you know what I mean? That would be fantastic.
Yes. Thank you, Tony.
Take good care, Cecilia.
You too. Bye-bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.